From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your high right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now look at the first verse of that. It says the first two words, I will. Everybody say, I will. That indicates choice, right? We have to choose to do what the rest of the psalm is going to say. I will lift my eyes to the hills. And the hills represent the place where God dwells or God's presence. The hills, if you think about it, if you went to Jerusalem and you were going to go to the temple, it was up in the hills. And oftentimes when they made memorials to the Lord because the Lord had done something really cool, that they'd put rocks and stuff, and so every time they walked by, oh yeah, that's, the Lord did that here. The Lord, and so oftentimes there was a name associated with that, right? And so when you walked by, oh yeah, that's the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, God of, you know, and it would remind you of who God was. So watch this. It's important for us to get back to the place where our eyes are focused on Him. I will lift my eyes up. Now watch the next verse. He's the next part of the verse. He says, from whence comes my help? In other words, I'm going to look up because where else is my help? There's no other place for my help. There's no other place that will really be there all the time. Come on. And like all of us, we've all had people who've let us down, right? Oh, you haven't? I have. I've had people that have let me down. I've had circumstances that have let me down. I've had situations that I thought were going to be one way, but they were a different way. And he says, no, listen. Where does my help really come from? And that indicates many things. When you ask yourself that question, you're asking yourself, who's my source? Who really is my comforter? Who's the one that I can really rely and trust in? Who's the one that I can count on? And the answer is, come on, the next verse, the answer is, my help comes from the Lord. He's my everything. He's my all in all. Now watch this. I think this is really cool. I will lift my eyes to the hills. In other words, if you're walking around looking down all the time, first of all, you're not going to see what's around you. You're just going to be going through life like, you know, just kicking the rocks in front of you and just going, well, it's never going to get better. It's never going to get better. It's never going to get better. Look at this. It's always the same day after day after day. And so what you need to do is look up when you're going through those times where it seems like nothing is right, nothing is going right. You have to purposefully by your will and fighting everything that's within you, say, no. Listen, I understand all the circumstances. I'm not denying anything. But I'm going to look up to where my help comes from. Come on. And so I'm going to look up and I'm going to be looking for God's presence. Now, I wish that all the time, 24/7, you know, 365 days a year, I just felt the overwhelming presence of God. You know, I just walked around in that cloud of His presence. But I don't. Right? Life happens. Things happen. But I can't be moved by what I feel. I have to be moved by what God says. Now, I use my emotions, I use my feelings and all of that for indicators that locate where I'm at, but I don't use that as an indicator of where I'm going. I have to look at God's presence and in His presence to get my direction of how I'm doing. Come on. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to be quiet before God and just be in His presence. But did you know that the Bible states that when you say Father in the name of Jesus, you're in His presence? Did you know that when you open this book and begin to read, you're in His presence? Now, you might not feel it. You might not have the goosebumps. In fact, if you're like me, there have been times where you've done your devotions, you've read through, you go, that was dry. Right? I didn't really get anything out of that necessarily, but the reality is you did. It's just in your spirit and not in your feelings. And so you have to get to the attitude that I am coming to the presence of God. I'm going to stay in the presence of God. This is something that I've been doing recently in talking with the Lord. I'll start out just getting quiet and I'll just say, Father, I'm coming right now to that throne that you said I could come to, the throne of grace. And Father, I'm coming in Jesus' name, so I'm just picturing myself before you right now. And in that quiet place, whether I feel anything or not, I know that that's where I am. See, because why? What am I doing? I'm looking to the hills where my help comes from. And you see, as Christians, and especially as us at this time, when the time that we're living in, come on, it seems like you turn the TV on, the news, everything, and it's like, the world's gone crazy. I don't even recognize the world anymore. But I can go to the place where my help comes from. I turn the knob off, the power button off on the TV, and I can go, Father, right now, right here, right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming to your throne of grace. And what I'm really doing is I'm lifting my eyes to the presence of God. And that's where my help is coming from. That's where my direction would come from. Everything else might let me down, but He is not one to let me down. It's really interesting. He's my helper. He's my source. He's my counselor. He's my healer. Right? He's the one that sticks closer than a brother. He's never going to leave me, never going to forsake me. He is my all in all. Come on. It's so, so good. He's capable. Now look at this, because this is so cool. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. How hard do you think that was? Right. You got problems? Well, the Lord, who's my helper, made heaven and earth. What does that mean? Your problem ain't, you know, I'm just going to say it, ain't diddly squat to what He's already done. In other words, He can handle you. He can handle your problem. He can handle your situation. He can even handle your mother-in-law, right? I mean, he can handle anything, right? But we have to go to Him to be the source of our help. In other words, we're facing something, and life is crowding us, and it seems like it's overwhelming, and it can take us out at any moment, right? Grief, turmoil, addiction, all kinds of things, you know, sorrow, regret, all that can seem to be taking us out. But that's when I'm going to run to the hills, into His presence. Father, I'm coming before Your throne of grace to find help in my time of need. So I have to lift my eyes up. Right? Now watch this. This is really interesting. When I was thinking about that, I took driver's ed. And did anybody in here take driver's ed when you were a kid? And this was years ago. We learned how to drive horses. No, not really. Driver's ed. And one of the things that the instructor told us, and I've never forgotten it, is that you want to have high aim driving. And I even was reintroduced this when I started riding a motorcycle again. But high, what does that mean? That you're looking far down the distance rather than what's right in front of you. right? Because if you're just looking at what's in front of you, you're not going to see the deer that's a half a mile away, right? So you have to keep your eyes focused on way out there instead of what's currently in the midst. And this is interesting, too. In driving a motorcycle or riding a motorcycle, it's like what you want to do, the natural thing to do is you're trying to go over here. So what you're doing is you're looking at the tire and seeing where it's turning. And what that's going to do is going to cause you to get unbalanced and fall, probably. But if you'll turn your head and move the bike to where you want it to go, it'll go where you want it to go. But you've got to move your neck and you've got to move your head to where you want to turn. So here's the deal. It's like even in our situation, our walk with the Lord, it's like, Lord, I'm looking to you. And so, Lord, wherever your presence is, wherever your peace is, wherever you're wanting me to go, that's the way I'm going to go. And you see, in that place of his presence, things happen automatically rather than chasing the Lord like, God, where are you? God, where are you? Did you forget me, God? Right? Did you forget me, God? Don't you know, God? Haven't you heard me cry in my circumstances and the roughness? Haven't you? And the reality is, he's saying, no, I'm not necessarily interested in coming where you are, but I've invited you to come up where I am. And if you'll come up here, you're going to get a completely different view. That's so good. So I look to the Lord where my help comes from and start to live your life out of that type of position. It's like, people are really bugging me today. But Lord, I'm just going to take a moment to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming right now to your throne of grace. Because, Lord, that's where you said I'd find help in the time of need. Right? That's a promise. That's a promise that he gave to you and me. And all of us are under the same covenant that was purchased by the blood of Jesus that made it possible for us, because we have that high priest that took our place, took our sins, that we are allowed in his presence. Glory to God. Don't you like it that God never sleeps nor slumbers? I'm glad God doesn't take a day off. You know, it said the seventh day he rested, but God is with us. He wants us. And yet we're so busy doing, we're so busy trying to get, that we oftentimes don't look up and really sit in his presence and just be with him. One, and maybe some of you were here, maybe not, but there was a service that we had, you know, at the other building, and it was, we sat in God's presence quiet for like 45 minutes. Nobody moved. That there was just an awesome presence of God. And I think there were even kids in the room, but nobody talked. You know, the same people didn't go up to the bathroom five times, you know, like normally happens. There was no disturbances. It's because his presence was so overwhelming that you just didn't want to move. You were in awe of it. Well, I think that there's times where we can practice that in our daily lives, and you don't have, it doesn't take 10 hours of praying in tongues in order to get there. It just takes that quick. And the more that you practice, Lord, I'm coming. Lord, I'm coming right now. By faith in the name of Jesus. And I just believe that I'm in your presence. And it's in your presence that I'm going to find help for what I need. Come on, is that good? Come on, that's good. That's good. That's good. Amen. And you don't need me. I don't need you. I you know, from that standpoint, I do want you to be around. I want to be around you. All of that. But I can be by myself and know that God will meet me by myself. He'll meet me with you too, and it's awesome to be together. In fact, one of the things that I hope this doesn't have a long-term effect, but one of the things of doing the live streaming is people go, well, you know, I'll just watch it online. And that's awesome that people are watching online. It's amazing when we've looked at who's been watching. It's really cool. It's an honor. It's really, it's humbling to me. But the reality is there's something different about being here together than there is, you know, over the phone or over the camera. So I like being together, but I don't need you to be in His presence. All I have to do is look up. And look up. Where does the Bible say in the New Testament, where does the glory of God abide? Do you know? Right? That's right. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Holy Spirit is inside of the human spirit for those that are born again, those that made Jesus the Lord of their life. What it says is that the Bible says that He's come into us and put into us a new heart, one that's capable of abiding in the presence of God. That's outstanding, right? But that's the place where God is going to meet with you. It's He'll meet with you. I've been in meetings where the anointing was so strong and people just blessed and all of that. But those are wonderful, and I think we're going to have even more glorious times like that. But the reality is, for my daily walk and for myself, I don't have to have one of those meetings to be in His presence. All I have to say is, Father, I'm coming to that throne of grace right now in the name of Jesus, and I'm there. Because I'm looking to the hills. I'm looking to the presence of God where my true help comes from. And He will do what He said He would do. He's a promise keeper. Glory to God. He will keep us steady. Listen, watch this. This is really cool. Verse 5, it says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. How many have ever thought about the fact, and the Bible says in the last day there's many who are going to depart from the faith, right? I mean, and I don't know if you've ever had the thought, but it's like, Lord, I don't want to be one of those. You know, I want to be one of those steady eddies. I want to be one of those that endures till the end. I want to be, you know, right there, Lord, when the trumpet sounds, I want to have my bags packed and ready to jump up and, you know, get it, you know. I want to be there, but the reality is I can't do that. You can't do that. But the Lord is the keeper of those who look to Him. So He's my keeper. What does that mean? That He'll keep us steady at all times. He will keep us steady at all times. Sometimes we go like, I've got to praise enough, I've got to pray enough, I've got to sing enough, I've got to be in church enough, I've got to be this enough or that enough. And really all that is us getting back into the works of us trying to do in order to be. And watch this. God said, if you'll be, I'll empower you to do. What does that mean? If you'll be my son. If you'll be in my presence, if you'll be confident that I am who I said I am, that I'll do what I said I'd do. Is that good? I mean, tonight, we have the absolute privilege and honor of being with Him, and He's in us, and He's for us. It's so good. He's always on duty. And like this, you can go to sleep tonight knowing that God's on the case. You really can. You might not know what the future holds, but you know the one who holds the future. And that's not just a cliche that you can put, you know, on calligraphy and put it on a wall somewhere, right? It's the truth. It's a reality of who we are. And He who holds us. He who knows us. It's really remarkable. Look at, there's so many good ones. But for the moment, go to Psalm 124. David is saying this. He said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. The swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord our God who has not given us prey to their teeth. Our soul has been escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Look, at God has always been with you. God is always for you. And in the midst, watch this, it didn't say there weren't enemies. It doesn't say that you're not going to have times where you're going to feel like you're in a snare, in a trap, something that you can't get out of. But that's the time when you press into His presence even further. And you tell, you know, you have to talk to yourself. Have you figured that out? Well, you talk to yourself anyway, so you might as well talk to yourself the right way rather than the wrong way. And the right way is, God, You said that You were for me. You said that You were with me. You said that You loved me. And I'm just coming to You right now, and in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just believe that I'm before Your presence right here, right now. And this is crazy, right? And I think it was a little bit crazy. But I heard a story of a lady who, you know, if you went over to her house, she was a single lady, and you sat down for dinner, she always set an extra plate with silverware and, you know, the whole nine yards. Well, who's that for? Well, that's for Jesus. That's for Jesus. Now, I think that might be a little extreme, but is it? Is it, really? I mean, in other words, if you need the visual to know that He's with you, whatever it takes. But it's like, Lord, I'm coming right now, right here. I know that You're here. And His presence is just so good and so overwhelming. It's so good. And look at Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forevermore. That's Psalm 125. That is now part of forevermore. Now look at again what it said, from this time forth and forever, right? So we're part of the forever. So if we're part of the forever, then this applies to you and me, right? So I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt tonight, and I know that all of us came in here from different places and different emotional places and different circumstances going on in our life, but we can all go out of here resting assured, come on, that the Lord surrounds me. The Lord's with me. And so I'm coming to His presence right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Right now, I'm coming to You right now. And I think that it would be good for us to set up times throughout the day that we remind ourselves of this. And you know, when you get up in the morning, just take a minute. Say, Father, I'm coming to You right now, and I thank You that I'm coming before Your throne of grace because I'm looking up to the hills, to Your presence, where I know my help comes from. I'm coming, Lord, for You to direct my day. I thank You that You'll be with me and that You'll guide me, right? And then you might need to do it again at 10 o'clock. Well, you might get up at 10 o'clock, but you might need to do it at 10 o'clock or at noon or 2 o'clock or whatever, or how often you need to do it. But the more you get into the practice of it, right, the more it's an automatic. What happens? Then you're living out of looking up in your life rather than looking down. Does that make sense? And see, tonight, I thank God, no matter what's going on in the world, you know, anybody that's ever lived have made statements like this. I don't know what's happening with this generation. Right? Your parents said it about you. Their parents said it about them. We're saying it about, but it's really true now, right? It's really true now. I mean, what are they thinking? But if we get too much into that, all we're doing is looking down rather than saying, Lord, and some of us have been there, Lord, I don't know how my kid or my generation or this country is going to come back to where it needs to come to. God, we just need to all buy guns and move to Montana and you know, live up in the hills so that we can protect ourselves from the commies, right, or whatever. And the reality is no, that's the wrong attitude. That's looking down. That's walking like this. That's walking amidst the surroundings that you find yourself in. When God says, no, look at in the midst of your trouble, if you'll look up and you'll put your focus on me, I'll show you how to get through today. I'll show you how to get through what you're going through right now. That interview that's not going well, or that job situation, or that relationship that's just crushing you, it seems like. If you'll look to me, if you'll look up to the hills, that's where your help's going to come. Don't look at other people. Now, Proverbs talks about this. Proverbs talks about in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And there's truth in that if you have the right counselors, right? But if you have the wrong counselors, that can be trouble. I don't know but in Proverbs it says that in the multitude of counselors there's safety. But watch this. I can look up the address later, but watch this. When you really need to know, you need to get quiet before God so that He can speak to your heart. Why? Because of this. If you don't know in your heart and get it settled in your heart what God is really saying to you, then even if you follow maybe somebody who's super spiritual and always got a word from the Lord, you follow their direction, there's always going to be a doubt in your mind about whether that was the correct thing to do. And the enemy is always going to beat you up with it. But if you'll get alone with God and you let Him settle that in your heart, right, then you know that you know that this is the direction of God. And when doubt comes in, you go, nope, right here, right there, right this day. I was seeking God, and He put this direction in my heart, and that's the way I'm going. So there's peace in that. I'll tell you of a situation. It was years ago. I had to make a decision, and that decision could go either way. I mean, I had scriptural grounds on both sides of this decision. And man, I was pretty young in the Lord. I was actually in Bible school at the time. And man, I was just all over the place. And so at the time, we could make appointments with our teachers to get counseling. And so I did that. I went to one of the teachers, never forget it. I laid out the scenarios, and he goes, man, he says, you could go either way, I guess. And I went, great help you are, O mighty man of faith. And so I was just, I mean, and I talked to these people and they say, do this. And I talked to those people and they'd say, do that. And I'm just going, I was so confused, wanting to do the will of God, wanting to do the right thing, wanting to be exactly where God wants me to be. And I'll forget it. I made an appointment with the associate pastor of the church that I was going to. And I got in his office. And really, I said this to him. I said, Pastor George, I don't know if you're going to be able to help me or not. Because I've sought other people. And this is what he said to me. He said, let's not limit the Holy Ghost. See, he was a man who knew the presence of God and knew that if God would begin to speak, we'd have our answer. And so he said, I went through the whole scenario. And he said to me, well, man, he didn't say you could go either way. He said this. He said, sounds like you really need to hear from God. And in my flesh, I'm going, well, what do you think I'm here for? Or, duh, of course I do, right? Duh. I didn't say that out loud. But this is what I said. I said, Pastor George, I don't know if I even hear from God anymore. And he just matter-of-factly turned to me and he said this. He said, oh, yes, you do. Why'd he say that? He said that because he knows, and the Bible says that his sheep know his voice. And the voice of a stranger, that, yes, you do. And here's what he had me do. We're in this office. We're in the church office. And his office was next to other offices in the main office. But it was one of those buildings where the walls were paper thin. You could hear everything from any other office. And he said, oh, here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to pray in the Spirit. We're both going to do it as loud and as hard as you can. So I don't know what it sounded like in that office, but man, we got after it. You know, really loud, praying in the Spirit. Just praying in the Spirit, praying. And I don't know, it seemed like it went on for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Just, you know, again, strangers didn't know what was going on. They went, man, somebody's getting killed in there. But we were just praying in the Spirit. And then he said, now be quiet. Now be quiet. What did he do? He took me to the hills where my help comes from. And I could sense and I knew the presence of God was there. And he said, that's where you'll find your answer. He didn't give me an answer, but he gave me the directions to the hills. And I started practicing that, and then God spoke to me. I knew what to do. And even all these years later, I'm not confused by the choice I made because I know God was in it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God wants you and wants me to know that He's not one that wants to deal with you through somebody else. He'll use somebody else. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be around each other. We shouldn't listen to messages, pastors. He's put all of those in the church for a purpose. But He wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with me that's based on us coming to Him. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says that if you want to please God, you must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It didn't say that those who come to Him for all of their needs and seek Him so that they can meet every one of their wishes. That's not what it says. It says that you must come to Him and believe that He is. What is He? He's my Father. He's the one who made the heaven and earth. He's the one that said that I could come boldly to Him. So, Lord, I'm just taking You at Your word tonight, and I'm just trusting that You're with me. I'm trusting that You're for me. I'm trusting that You'll lead me and guide me and show me. And you know what? He's faithful to do it. He's so faithful to do it, and He's so for us. He wants us to have a life that's filled with peace and joy. Now, I'm not talking about la-la land where we're not going to have struggles because people are going to mess up around us. We're going to mess up ourselves. We're going to have struggles with that. And we can't control anybody else's realm, even when it bounces into ours. But in the midst of that, we can come before Him and say, Lord, I don't know about this crazy that's going, but I'm not looking at that right now. I'm not looking at what my kids are doing or what this one did or what the governor does or what the president's doing or what CNN says. I'm not looking to that right now, Lord. I'm looking to the hills where my help comes from. See, a lot of Christians are walking around in fear because they're looking like this. Where God says, if you look like this, I'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. That's worth the price of admission. Come on, God, really, you will? Yes, we have to practice His presence. Are y'all getting something tonight? Go to John chapter 10, the Gospel of John in the 10th chapter. Hallelujah. And I'm going to start in verse 1. John chapter 10 and verse 1. He says, most assuredly I say to you that he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. What's he talking about? Any way to God besides Jesus, you're going through the wrong way. He's the chief shepherd. He's the one that calls us. He's the one, and we know his voice. You know his voice. I know his voice. Right? Watch this now. And verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Look, that's supposed to be who we are. But here's what happens. As we listen to other people's opinions, or we try to seek out others' advice without being in God's presence, but going before him, and we're walking around like this. This one said to go here. No, oh, I'm supposed to go over here. No, I'm supposed to go over here. Oh, I'm so confused. God, would you kill me right now and take me home, because I don't want to live like this anymore. And he says, it was never my design for you to live like that in the first place, but you're not listening to the voice that's leading you in the right direction. Whew. Right? Again, there's many voices that come to our head, but they're not all God, and we have to come back to the place where we know that we know that we know that his voice is leading us. Jesus used these illustrations, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Jesus then said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Right? Your religious works won't get you there. You're trying to follow the law won't get you there. You're trying to be good enough is not going to get you there. The only way that you can get where the shepherd is leading you is by believing that he is the door. But watch this. If you believe that, then you know that you have free entrance in and out. Tonight, man, I don't have to have your permission to go into the presence of God. I don't have to have your blessing. I don't have to be anointed by you. I don't have to, and you don't have to be anointed by me. But we have to know that the shepherd is the one that leads us in that direction all the time. Isn't that good? So good. Now watch this. For the thief comes not except to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I've come that they might have life, and they may have it more abundantly. Abundant life comes from knowing that you have access to the presence of God. We're so worried about the thief that we forget about the shepherd. We're spending more time with the thief and going, man, what demon do I need to cast out? And what do I need to rebuke? And what do I need to, and really what we're doing, or what words do I need to speak? Or how do I need to walk? And how do I pray? And how do I, how much Bible have I read? And all of this. And what we've done is we've gone back into the thievery that's trying to get to God in a different way than just saying, Jesus, you're my shepherd. You're the one who paid for my sins. And I'm coming to you just the way I am. And I trust you that because of what you did for me, I have free access to the hills where my help comes from. Woo! Glory to God. You can't rain on my parade unless I take the umbrella down. Just let that sink in for a minute. 3 John says, and it's kind of in his opening, but in verse 2 of 3 John, he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." God wants us to be blessed. But He wants us to be blessed no matter what the circumstances are around us. And the way that we do that is to continue to look up, which is actually looking in, because that's where He dwells, and say, "Lord, I just trust that You're with me. I know Your voice. I hear Your voice. I'm not going to even entertain following a different one." Let's one more scripture and we'll close. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Have you ever read the Bible and just went, "Man, this is too good to be true"? Is this really true? This has to be true for, you know, Saint so-and-so. This really has to be true for somebody else that's really special. But could this? Is it possible for this to be true for me? And the reality is, if it's not true for you, it's not true for anybody. Because either He came to save, for God so loved the world. That means everybody in it, that He gave His only begotten Son. Right? So that's me. And I just have to take Him as His word. In His greeting in verse 2, He said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus." Now, where do we get the knowledge of God? Through His Word, right? And you know, hopefully in coming to church and going to Bible studies, and all, there's knowledge given. But Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 1, "I pray that He would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him." What does that speak of? That speaks of an intimate relationship where God is making Himself known to you. Do you know that God wants to do that for you? "Oh, but I'm nobody." There was an old song that says, "You're nobody until somebody loves you." Right? And the fact is that He loves you, and His love for you makes you somebody. And the more you get to know Him, if you're really honest with God and He really came down and showed you how He viewed you, you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. Verse 3 says, "As His divine power has been given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue, to by which you've been given exceeding and great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Just boil that all down. Jesus came. He died on the cross. When I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior, He said, "Now you're my child. Now you're in my kingdom. You've been rescued out of the kingdom of darkness. You're now into the kingdom of light. And here's your card. It's a free pass into my Father's presence. Anytime, anywhere, any place, all you have to do is lift up your eyes and look to the presence of God, because that's where your help comes from. And He's given you every promise that is necessary for you to get through life and to live life in such a way that God is pleased with you and that you produce the fruit that He wants out of your life. But the fruit that you produce is not based on your toil and your effort and your groaning and your moaning and your trying. It's produced by your relationship with His presence. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You for Your presence. I thank You that You're here, Lord. Everybody that's watching, Father, and listening to this over the internet, I just ask You to bless them, Lord. And I really pray, Lord, that You would supernaturally flood their rooms, flood wherever they're at right now, and touch them, God, and let them know that, Father, they can come to you right here, right now, by just saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, and that puts them right in your throne of grace. Reveal that to them. Show that to them. And then, Lord, as they get quiet before you, lead them in peace. And if you're there, you never made Jesus the Lord of your life. That's the only way that what I've said in the last 45 minutes can be yours. And it's really simple, but it's very profound. From a heart, you have to know that you are lost without Jesus. But if you come to him just the way you are and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus took my place, took my sin. And Father, that you raised him from the dead. And Lord, if you just receive me now, I'll be saved. If you say that, believe that in your heart, the Bible says that you're saved, that you're born again. So fall in love with him. Let him fall in love with you. Open the Bible. If you're new to it, just start in the book of John and let God deal with you in Jesus' name. God bless you. If you need anything, just give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.